ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय क्वाहं रजा प्रभाव ईशत मोदिकेस्मिन् जाता सुरेत रकुले क्वत वानुकंपा न ब्रह्मनो न तु भवस्य न वैरमाया यन्मेऽर्पिता शिरसि पद्मकरा प्रसादा
O my Lord, O Supreme, because I was born in a family full of the hellish material qualities of passion and ignorance, what is my position? And what is to be said of your causeless mercy, which was never offered even to Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, or the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi? You never put your lotus hand upon their heads, but you have put it upon mine. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Prahlad Maharaj was surprised at the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead. For although Prahlad was born in a demoniac family, and although the Lord had never before placed his lotus hand on the head of Brahma, Shiva, or the goddess of fortune, his constant companion, Lord Narasimhadev, kindly placed his hand on the head of Prahlad. This is the meaning of causeless mercy. The causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead may be bestowed upon anyone, regardless of his position in this material world. Everyone is eligible to worship the Supreme Lord, irrespective of his material position. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Mam cha yo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate Sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. Anyone who engages in continuous devotional service to the Lord is situated in the spiritual world and has nothing to do with the material qualities, sattvaguna, rajoguna, and tamoguna. Because Prahlad Maharaj was situated on the spiritual platform, he had nothing to do with his body, which had been born of the modes of passion and ignorance. The symptoms of passion and ignorance are described in Srimad Bhagavatam as lust and hankering. Tadarajastamo bhava kamalobhadayaschaye. Prahlad Maharaj, being a great devotee, thought the body born of his father to be born of passion and ignorance. But because Prahlad was fully engaged in the service of the Lord, his body did not belong to the material world. The pure Vaishnava's body is spiritualized even in this life. For example, when iron is put into a fire, it becomes red and hot and is no longer iron but fire. Similarly, the so-called material bodies of devotees who fully engage in the devotional service of the Lord, being constantly in the fire of spiritual life, have nothing to do with matter, but are spiritualized. Srila Madhvacharya remarks that the goddess of fortune, the mother of the universe, could not get mercy similar to that which was offered to Prahlad Maharaj. For although the goddess of fortune is always a constant companion of the Supreme Lord, the Lord is more inclined to his devotees. In other words, devotional service is so great that when it is offered, even by those born in low families, the Lord accepts it as being more valuable than the service offered by the goddess of fortune. Lord Brahma, King Indra, and the other demigods living in the upper planetary systems are situated in a different spirit of consciousness, and therefore they are sometimes troubled by demons. But a devotee, even if situated in the lower planets, enjoys life in Krishna consciousness under any circumstances. Paratha, Swatha, Karmata. As he acts himself, as he is instructed by others, or as he performs his material activities, he enjoys life in every respect. In this regard, Madhvacharya quotes the following verses, which are mentioned in the Brahma Taraka. Sri Brahma Brahmivindradi Trikatat Sri Purustuta Tadanyecha Kramadeva Sadamukta Spritav Api Haribhakto Tatajjnane Sukecha Niyamenatu Paratas Swata Karmatova Nakatanchit Tadanyata. We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, entitled Prahlad Pacifies the Lord with Prayers, Text 26. Herein, Prahlad is struck with wonder of how merciful is the Supreme Lord. He is in a state of transcendental ecstasy, feeling himself so unqualified for what he is receiving. In this verse, it is revealed through Prahlad Maharaj the process of how to be happy and how to access mercy. When we think ourselves to be very insignificant, very fallen, then whatever we receive, it is with gratitude. Unless we are grateful, really grateful, we cannot really appreciate Krishna's love in whatever form it may take. In this verse, Prahlad is discussing the mercy he receives in the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead placing his hand on top of his head. Prahlad is utterly struck with wonder. Why me? Of all people, why me? The great Brahma, the great Shiva, the goddess Lakshmi, you never even put your hand on their heads. I have no qualification. It is only by your grace. There is no other reason to explain. But if we study Prahlad's life, he was grateful in any situation. Now he's grateful because the Lord is placing his lotus palm on his head. But when Hiranyakashipu threw him down to the floor, he was grateful for that. When he was thrown into a pit of snakes without any possibility of defending himself, he was grateful for that. He was grateful to Krishna for that. When he was being blasphemed and pierced with spears and tridents, when he was thrown in blazing fire, when he was put in the bottom of the ocean and then a mountain on top of him, when he was thrown from the highest peaks of mountains, when he was put in freezing cold, when he was cast into a gigantic pot of boiling oil, he was grateful for that. Grateful in the same way as he is now when the Lord is putting his hand on his head. Tate nukampam susamikshimano punjana evatmikritam vipakam haridvagvapurbir vidadam namaste jiveti muktapade sadayapak. A grateful heart is not one that is very selective and choosy about what to be grateful for. That is not really gratitude. On the path of bhakti, a grateful heart accepts whatever may come with folded palms, with humility. I deserve worse. Even if it's absolutely unbearable, only in that state can we really turn to Krishna. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that simplicity is foundational. It's the initial quality that one must adopt to be a real Vaishnava. And humility is foundational because it supports all other qualities and connects it to Krishna. What Prahlad Maharaj went through for whatever weeks and weeks and weeks, Hiranyakashipu was trying to assassinate him. And Prahlad had no one to help him. He couldn't call the police for child abuse. Because his father was the police. It was a very difficult situation. It was horrific. 5 years old. Where could he turn? And no one dared to cross Hiranyakashipu. His guru, Narada Muni, could have flew in and picked him up and taken him somewhere else. But Narada Muni knew exactly what's best for his disciple. And Narada Muni remained within his heart in the form of his teachings. And that's all Prahlad had, is remembering the teachings of his Gurudev. There was nothing else. The most powerful man in the universe, all of his army and militaries, they were all against him. all he had was the words of his Gurudev, that we should always humbly take shelter of the Supreme Lord in every situation. And we can grow in fame or infamy, pleasure or pain, happiness or distress, health or disease, life or death, victory or defeat, success or failure. None of these dualities are really very important. They come and go like the seasons. The only thing that is important is our consciousness. Are we turning to Krishna? How to turn to Krishna? What is actually required? Prahlad Maharaj is revealing it by his own character in this verse. There's so much he can talk about. He could say, I am directly the disciple of Narada Muni. Sometimes we say, I'm directly Srila Prabhupada's disciple. We're very proud of that. We shouldn't be proud of ourselves. We should just... Prahlad Maharaj, in other prayers, he's explaining how he's so fallen and so unqualified. It's by the causeless mercy of his Gurudev, Narada Muni, that he has any qualification whatsoever. He's not saying, I am the disciple of Narada Muni. He's saying, Narada Muni is so merciful, he's willing to accept someone even like me, the least of the least, the worst of the worst. There is a not so subtle difference in that type of pride. One is self-pride, and one is pride in the person who is bestowing mercy upon us. When we are proud of the person bestowing mercy upon us, Abhaya Charanaravindare, we become fearless. But when we're proud of ourselves, we become filled with fear. Because what we're proud of is so fallible. And it isn't ours. Mercy is descending. If you think you deserve it, you can't call it causeless. Prahlad Maharaj really means this is causeless. Yes, we find in the character of Prahlad the map which shows what is required of all of us. When Prahlad Maharaj was put in so many difficult situations, he just turned to Krishna with all humility. You know the story when Draupadi, she tried everything to protect herself. She tried to hold on to the sari by her own strength. But Dushasana was thousands of times stronger than her. She tried to turn to the king, Dhritarashtra, to Bhishma, her grandfather-in-law, to Yudhisthira, Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula, Sahadev. And she was pleading, someone help me. No one would help her. So ultimately, she just threw her arms toward the sky and cried out Krishna's names, Hey Krishna, Hey Govinda. Because she realized her utterly humble position. And in that state, she cried out for Krishna. Krishna was there. Kunti Devi, she knows the whole story. Janmaishwaraya Shruti Shribir Edamana Madhapuma Naivarhatya Vadatum Vaitvam Akinchana Gocharam. When she speaks this verse, there's a tremendous background to her realization, what she saw. She was suffering along with Draupadi in that situation. And what a predicament she was in. Her children, they were being poisoned, they were being hunted to be killed, they were being exiled. And what could she do about it? Therefore, she offers this verse to Krishna because she understands, she's seen it. It's not just some philosophical thesis. The acharyas worship the prayers of Kunti because they are filled with deep, profound realization, direct experience. She's praying to Krishna, if anyone is proud due to their wealth, their high birth, their beauty, their strength, their education, if anyone is proud of any of these things, whether you are a graduate of a high university or whether you really never went to school but you've just studied the scriptures and you could speak so nicely, whether you're a Brahmin, South Indian Brahmin, descendant of Vasishtha Muni or Gautam Rishi, or whether you are very, very beautiful or very strong, if you're proud because you're famous, Kunti says you cannot chant Krishna's name with real feeling. Because Krishna is akinchana gocharam. This means he is the property of the impoverished. Being impoverished doesn't mean you don't have anything. It means you don't claim anything. Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, they were not impoverished. They were multimillionaires. And they were happened to be the most learned people on the face of the earth. And they were also Saraswat Brahmins, very high birth. And they were very, very beautiful. They were both like Kamadev, they were so beautiful. So everything Kunti is saying we shouldn't have, they had. But they never claimed it to be their own. They always saw that whatever I have is only by the causeless mercy of Krishna. And therefore they were totally humble. When Sanatana Goswami approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with straw in his teeth, along with Rupa Goswami, we are the most fallen, more fallen than Jagai and Madhai. Now, we have heard the story of Jagai and Madhai. We have heard how Yamaraj, his accountants could not even keep track of the sins of these two brothers. And Nityananda Prabhu, Balaram, and Haridas Thakur, Lord Brahma, they singled them out of everyone in the whole universe as the most fallen, sinful people.
They targeted them. Let's somehow or other get causeless mercy for them. So sinful.
They raped, they killed,
they murdered, they burned houses. They were always drunk, not just on social occasions, taking a drink. Day and night, they were intoxicated.
And they wouldn't eat anything but
meat and blood. Most likely, subjis were just below their dignity. There's no blood in subjis. How could you enjoy it?
They were really sinful. They were really cruel. And yet, Rupa and Sanatan, the most high-class, wonderful people in the world, actually believe that they're more fallen than Jagai and Madhai. How is that possible? It's inconceivable. It's to the extent that they were seeing the greatness of God. They were seeing themselves so fallen. And because the more you think like that, the more you really take shelter. So this is the extent that they could take shelter. Prahlad could say that, yes, I'm the disciple of Narada Muni. And not only that, but even though my father is such a demon, he tried to murder me, he tried to kill me, I never gave up my bhakti. Nah. Nothing in the 14 worlds could stop my devotional service. I'm a great soul. When they threw me in that pit of snakes, what did I do? I chanted Hare Krishna. And I was not afraid. When they put me in fire, fire could not destroy me because I surrendered to Krishna. It's all true. Why is he not saying like that? Even when my father fed me deadly poison that could kill so many huge men, I offered it to Krishna with so much love and so much devotion that Krishna took all the poison out to save me. Is he stating any of these facts? No. He's only saying that I was born in a family full of hellish material qualities of passion and ignorance. What is my position? There's so much good in him, and he's only seeing the faults. But the amazing thing is he's not even seeing faults in Hiranyakashipu. He's seeing faults in himself. For as far as Hiranyakashipu, he was my lord, he was all mixed up. Please give him liberation. He did all these heinous things mixed up. Please give him liberation. He was totally forgiving because he was so humble. This is the quality of a Vaishnava. Prahlad was really grateful. The least qualified we feel ourselves, the more we can appreciate mercy when it comes. Just like if you are a crorepati and you have tens and millions of rupees and someone gives you a chapati, without any ghee on it. Just a dry, coarse chapati. Do you have tears in your eyes of gratitude?
say, you know, I have so many cooks that make chapatis better than this. But if you're a starving man on the street and everyone has forsaken you and you have nothing and no one and someone gives you a chapati, are you grateful? Not only are you grateful, you just give your heart to that person. You understand that this is causeless mercy. When you just finish overeating a Sunday feast, and someone gives you a plate with a mountain of hot halva, are you grateful? You look at it, you smell it, you go, "Ruh." Get it away from me. Yes? But if you just ended Pandava Nirjali Kadasi and someone gives you a plate of that mountain of hot halava, it's very, very grateful. You're very happy. Because without hunger, there's no digestion. And hunger is a feeling of emptiness. Yes? So similarly, when we feel empty, we can digest mercy when it comes. But when we're full of ourselves, we can't digest mercy when it, even if mercy comes, we can't really digest it. Mercy is there for everyone. It's like the monsoons in Bombay. But you have to be receptive to it. And Prahlad is teaching us how to be receptive. And we find this consistent in all the great souls. Haridas Thakur, he could have said, "My Lord, please remember what I've done in my life. You know everything. So you know I'm telling the truth. I'm not exaggerating. That prostitute was sent by Ramchandra Khan. She was the most sinful, lusty woman. And now you know what she's doing. She's chanting 300,000 names in front of Tulsi Devi and is living a pure life of a saint. And, you know, I don't want to brag or anything, but it was due to my association." I'm not boasting, I'm just being honest. You know, the facts stand for themselves. And then, you know, that was just the beginning. You remember when I was living in Shantipur in that cave on the bank of the Ganges, Maya Devi came to try to test my devotional service. For 3 nights, she put the whole spell of her illusory energy over me. And what was the result? Not only did I not fall down, but she surrendered to me and I initiated her in the holy name of Krishna. You remember that, Lord Chaitanya? And as far as when those men beat me, they beat me to 22 marketplaces, and my Lord, I never even got angry at them. You know. Maybe I should write an autobiography. Haridas Thakur didn't say like that. I was beaten in 22 marketplaces, and I never even cursed them. The whole time I was praying to you, "Forgive them, forgive them, forgive them." Unbelievable, isn't it? And then after they beat me and beat me and beat me, I just put my, I used my mystic powers to enter into Mahasamadhi, and I died. And then I rose from the dead. By your grace, my Lord, I rose from the dead. These are all facts. This is the amazing quality of a devotee. They're not even proud of their devotional activities. If you forgive someone, and then you're proud that you forgave them, then you lose so much of the benefits of forgiving them. Prahlad and Haridas, when they're forgiving people who are really, really evil to them, they're not thinking, this is my greatness. They're just so humble. They're thinking, you know, I can't forgive. Krishna, you forgive. They're forgiving. They're simply the well-wisher of others. Whoever. Well-wisher of everyone. But they don't take credit for that quality either. They understand it's the grace of God that we even have that power to forgive. No, Haridas Thakur was not saying like this, although they were all facts. He was praying to the Lord that my body is abominable. I was born in the lowest family, and my activities are the lowest of humankind. In fact, I am the lowest, most condemned amongst all men. And he means it. He's expressing that it is only by your causeless mercy that I have been saved from all of my bad qualities, from all of this illusion. And when he begged the Lord, please grant me this one benediction, let me die in your presence. Lord Chaitanya revealed his heart. How could I live without you, Haridas? You are the crest jewel of all devotees. The only happiness I have in this world is your association. Why do you want to leave me? Now, for most of us, we would have thought, you're all-knowing, Krishna. Lord Chaitanya, you know everything. You're saying I'm the greatest of all devotees in the entire universe, and you can't live without me. Okay, I'll stay. Can't defeat an argument like that. It's the absolute truth. The absolute truth is I'm the greatest devotee in all the universe. He didn't say that. He said, my Lord, why are you creating an illusion by saying these things? There are thousands and thousands and thousands of devotees who are fit to sit on my head. They are all your confidential servants. They are all significantly helping you in your mission. But I haven't done anything. So please grant my desire. Today is the disappearance day of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, and Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. In regard to Prahlad Maharaj's prayer, we'll speak for just a few minutes about that similar quality. In fact, it is the consistent quality in all great devotees. In regard to Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. And please know this is a universal principle. Wherever there is love of God, there is this type of humility. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he's explaining how he's able to write Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. He tells how in the holiest of all holy places of Vrindavan, there is a place of pilgrimage where on a throne ornamented with precious jewels stands the Supreme Personality of Godhead, more beautiful than millions of cupids, in the form of Govindadev. And Govindadev is worshipped with flowers of all varieties and different types of bhoga and decorations and so much love and devotion. We get a hint from Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami of what Vrindavan was like 4 centuries ago. He says that there is constantly thousands of servants going in and out doing seva for Govindaji. It wasn't like the temple commander, you know, where are we going to get a pujari? There were thousands and thousands and thousands of people every day just doing personal services for the deity. That was what Vrindavan was like at that time. And every one of those servants had pure hearts, had pure love, had no motivation except to please the Lord and the devotees. And he glorifies many of them. They're associates of Rupa Goswami, associates of Sanatan Goswami, associates of Gadadhar Pandit. But he's expressing appreciation in particular to Haridas Pandit. Said Haridas Pandit was a pujari. He was a personal servitor of Sri Radha Govindadev. And he was an ocean of good qualities. He was gentle, tolerant, magnanimous, very sober in his dealings. He was very, very kind to everyone. There was not a trace of envy or jealousy in his heart. He was literally everyone's well-wisher. And it describes how he was a disciple of Anantacharya, who happened to be a direct disciple of Gadadhar Pandit, who is the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srimati Radharani, incarnated within the Panchatattva. Haridas Pandit was Adosa Darshi. He always saw the good qualities in others and never concerned himself with the faults. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada explains that practically everyone within this material world has both their good qualities and their faults. Anyone could find fault in anyone. It's not difficult. What is the quality of a Vaishnav? Quality of a Vaishnav is we take joy in looking for the good qualities in others. And we do not concern ourselves with the faults of others. Rupa Goswami, he explains, one of the qualities of pure devotional service is we have no tendency, we have no inclination to criticize or find faults in others. if we have to do it for the purpose of, you know, protecting the innocent, it's done almost painfully for someone else's welfare. A fly enjoys the infection on your body. Yes, if you have a very nice, healthy body, but you have one sore where there's some oozing pus coming out, suddenly you'll see a whole pilgrimage of flies attacking it to drink and suck and enjoy. Hare Krishna. Whenever we are inclined to criticize others, we should understand, I am that fly drinking that infectious pus. Hare Krishna. According to scripture, that's what our mentality is. Haridas Pandit had no inclination toward that. And because he was in this spirit, he was constantly organizing for devotees to read the Chaitanya Bhagavat. In those days, it was called Chaitanya Mangal by Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur. He was always listening to it, always speaking the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And because he was experiencing that higher taste, then who wants to hear the prajalpa of this world? Param drishtva nivartate. We have to fill our consciousness with Hari Katha. And somehow or other restrain ourselves from Gramya Katha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Raghunatha Das Goswami, Gramya Katha na shunibe. First quality of a person who's supposed to be renounced. More important than giving up all your possessions is not speaking mundane gossip and not listening. That's the first qualification that Lord Chaitanya gives us. So Haridas Pandit, he had Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat constantly being read. He was always speaking about it, always hearing about it, always enlightening others. In this way he lived in Sri Vrindavan. This is Vrindavan. Vrindavan is not about going, you know, 90 miles, you know, southeast of Delhi and opening up a shop. That's not living in Vrindavan. Or buying an apartment and then, you know, talking about all the scandals going on at Krishna Balaram Temple. Not living in Vrindavan. Living in Vrindavan is about absorbing yourself constantly in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord and honoring and serving the devotees. That is Vrindavan. And factually, anywhere in the world you are, if you are in that consciousness, you are living in Vrindavan. That is Prabhupada's blessing to the whole world. It was Haridas Pandit who instructed Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami to compile the later pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Chaitanya Bhagavat mainly focuses on the Navadvip Leela of the Lord. The pastimes of after he took sannyas are quite briefly explained in Chaitanya Bhagavat. So you should be the one who writes this. Why? You have heard at Radha Kund from Raghunath Das Goswami, directly. You should be writing this. And all the other devotees were blessing him. Raghunath Das Goswami was blessing him. I'm speaking, you write it. Rupa Goswami had blessed him. Bhugarbha Goswami, Lokanath Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, they were Kashishwar Pandit, all these great mahants of Braj Bhumi, they were all blessing him. Write Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami felt himself totally unqualified. Raghunath Das Goswami wrote books. How can I write? I just heard from him. Bhugarbha Goswami, such a scholar. Lokanath Goswami, such a Vaishnava, a direct associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Haridas Pandit, he's speaking so much the glories of the Lord. How could I be the one to read it? I mean to write it. This is going to be the biography of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's later pastime for all time. Perhaps he was thinking like this. He felt no qualification. But that was his qualification. That's why all of these great saints chose him. If he was going to do it, it was only because he was doing it on the order of the Vaishnavas. With the order of the Vaishnavas comes the grace and the power of the Vaishnavas. That's my only qualification. But still he wasn't convinced. After getting the instruction and the blessings of all the devotees of Vrindavan, of the Gaudiya community, he went with them to the Madan Mohan temple. And there was a pujari named Gosai who was worshiping the Lord. And while he was doing his puja, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami with folded palms prayed, "Do I have your permission to do this?" And just as he prayed, a garland slipped off from the body of Govindadev right at that moment when he offered the prayer. And Gosai, the pujari, lifted that garland and immediately placed it around the neck of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And everyone there cheered, "Harivo!" Confirmation. May Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, with all the blessings and all the encouragement of all the devotees, on that very day he began to write Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. But while he's writing, he's continuously remembering his position. So many chapters, he reveals his heart. "I am lame and ill-advised. Only by the mercy of Madan Mohan can I possibly do this. I'm blind. I'm like a blind and lame man. Only by the mercy of the Vaishnavas is this possible." In another place, he says, "I am like a lame man trying to cross mountains by writing this Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is only by the stick of the mercy of the devotees that it is possible." He said, I am suffering from the disease of material desires. And I'm suffering terribly due to the boils of envy. In this condition, I am helplessly falling at the feet of the great physician, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he's praising Vrindavan Das Thakur. He said, "Before writing Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in my heart of hearts, I surrendered my life and begged for the blessings of Vrindavan Das Thakur. He is the real person who was qualified to glorify Lord Chaitanya. He is Vyasadeva in the Kali Yuga. And he goes on and on and on to explain the glories of Vrindavan Das Thakur and his devotion and his writing. And he says, I am just taking whatever little scraps and remnants that Vrindavan Das Thakur has left behind, and I am chewing that. It is only by his grace that I can write anything. He's giving credit to everyone except himself. What a state of bliss that is. He loves everyone with such gratitude. What ecstasy that is to the heart, to love someone with gratitude, rather than just be plagued by the burden of false ego. That is the difference between material life and spiritual life. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains the story of how he was with his, how Miniketana Ramdas was offended by his brother, and he tried to defend his brother, defend Miniketana Ramdas, and defend Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who was Miniketana Ramdas's master. His brother honored Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he considered Nityananda Prabhu to be pretty strange. And because Miniketana Ramdas was a friend of Nityananda Prabhu, he would not respect him. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami told his brother, accepting Lord Chaitanya without Lord Nityananda is like accepting half of a hen. Prabhupada explains what that means. That the front half of the hen is eating, but the back half is giving eggs. Yes? So, you make money with eggs, but you lose money by feeding him. So just cut it in half. Throw away the front part, or just keep the back part. What happens? The hen is dead. So similarly, trying to accept Lord Chaitanya without Lord Nityananda, you lose both. Nityananda Prabhu was so pleased with him, he appeared to him in a dream that night. He was in the garb of a cowherd boy with a stick, decorated with flowers of Vrindavan, his eyes rolling in ecstasy. And he pointed in the direction of Vrindavan and said, "Go to Vrindavan, Kaviraj. Go to Vrindavan, and you will attain the fulfillment of all your desires. All things will be attained. Go." Now he was living at home very comfortably. He woke up the next morning, left for Vrindavan. Didn't take anything with him, just left. That was his faith. And he explains, it's only by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu that I'm here. And when I came to Vrindavan, I got the shelter of Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, and all of their associates. Only by their mercy, I fall at their feet. And he's so humble. He goes to the extent where he gives all credit to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, to the readers. He's giving credit to you and me. Who are we? He's saying, all my readers, please forgive me if there's any mistakes or flaws in this writing. I'm only doing it on the order of the great souls. But he's taking the dust of the feet of every Vaishnav, even the lowest neophyte who's just started chanting Hare Krishna. This Paramahamsa is taking the dust of their lotus feet and worshiping them. And then he worships anyone who reads Chaitanya Charitamrita. By your enthusiasm, you are empowering me to write. This is Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. He began the writing when he was in his 90s. Hare Krishna. Can you imagine? Beginning. And every verse is a poem. It's not just a book. It's tens and thousands of verses of pristine, elegant poetry. How do you do that? He's not only writing beautiful pastimes, but he's presenting the deepest, most profound philosophy in eloquent poetry. Nityananda Prabhu and the Goswamis, he explains, they're writing this through me. He said, I'm just like a parrot. In one place he says, I'm just like a wooden doll. And Madan Mohan, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, they are making me dance. That's how this is being written. We hear these stories. But why are they so important? If we really want to love Krishna, we cannot imitate these great souls, but we have to value the characteristics that they embody and try to emulate them. Our aspiration should be to adopt this kind of consciousness. Otherwise, why are they repeatedly revealed to us in these great scriptures? It's nothing new. Prahlad Maharaj is revealing this utter humility and this utter gratitude as his qualification to take shelter of the Lord. And it just so happens, not by accident, that every single saint in our whole Gaudiya Sampradaya says the same thing and lives by the same principle. Now, yes, we cannot imitate. But this is what we should be striving for. This is what we should be influenced by. Whoever we are. The Lord's mercy could come upon anyone. Haridas Thakur happened to be a Malecha. Hanuman happened to be a non-human. Prahlad was born in a family of Rakshasas. Asuras. Gajendra was just a big old elephant. The gopis were just simple Vaishya housewives. What is this example? Krishna shows his greatest mercy not because of any material qualification or disqualification. Everything is based upon accessing that mercy by our humility, our sincerity, and our devotion. This is the spirit in which we are taught to chant the holy names. Krishnananda Prabhu looks so happy whenever he's chanting the holy names. And his happiness multiplies infinitely when he sees others chanting the holy name. Yes, Govinda Prabhu?
Yes.
They've lived together for a long time, so he speaks with realization. I think it's late. So, should we have one question or should we end? Is there any question? Govinda Prabhu said, yes, we should have questions because he happens to have a question.
Thank you, Maharaj, for very nice classes. One, based on the purport only, that Prabhupada says that he acts himself, he is undisturbed by others, he acts as instructed by others, and he performs his material activities, but in all stages he enjoys his life. And you also mentioned how one should be grateful, but we see that as we become older in age, not in spiritual maturity, but when we are practicing our devotional service, when others are disturbed in their spiritual life, it affects our spiritual practices. We are not only, we are concerned, but we are disturbed. Being concerned is okay, but being disturbed is an obstacle in our spiritual practice. So how we should be concerned but not disturbed in our spiritual practices?
Concerned with what?
Their difficulties, their problems.
Other devotees' difficulties.
Yeah, but we are disturbed. Rather than being simply concerned, we are disturbed and it affects our spiritual practice.
Prahlad Maharaj asks for a benediction, but I don't want to go back to Godhead. As long as there's any fools and rascals in this world who are forgetful of you, let me keep taking birth in this material world to try to help them. That means he's feeling compassion. What it means is being disturbed for other people's problems and difficulties. That disturbance gives Krishna enjoyment. The fact that you're paradukaduki, that you're disturbed to see another person suffering, that gives Krishna enjoyment. And ultimately, even in that state of being disturbed, because it's for the welfare of others, it's based on love. And love is the highest enjoyment. It's based on love for the soul. It's hard to understand how the gopis in separation are enjoying. They're not saying we're enjoying like anything because Krishna's in Mathura. They're talking about being burnt by the fire of Viparalamba. They're not eating. They're not sleeping. They're just waiting for Krishna, with such heavy hearts. And we learn that that's the highest enjoyment, because it's based on love. It's based on love for Krishna. So when we sincerely are concerned with other people's welfare, we're really concerned with their souls. That's love. And that love is enjoyment, even if it's painful. Yes? Prabhupada's definition of enjoyment is not like a materialistic definition of enjoyment, where you go to see a Bollywood movie and you enjoy. Yes? Or you eat some nice prasad and you enjoy. We're talking about ananda, ecstasy. To feel for an... Vasudev Datta. He was enjoying. But what was his mood? In fact, Vasudev Datta, after he offered his prayer, what was the first thing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said? You are Prahlad. He was illustrating, expressing the identical sentiments as Prahlad. Vasudev Datta says, when I see the people in this material universe, all living beings, suffering due to forgetfulness of you, it breaks my heart. It's unbearable. Let me suffer the consequences of all their karma. Put it on my head and let them all go back to home, back to Godhead. Give them liberation. Would you say, Govinda Prabhu, that Vasudev Datta is disturbed by seeing people suffering in this world? He's saying it breaks his heart, brings him suffering. He'd rather suffer the sins himself than see them suffer. Yeah? That's suffering. But it's based on love, spiritual love, not material, emotional, sentimental love. It's based on spiritual love. Therefore, it's actually a higher enjoyment. It's real enjoyment. But it's not disturbing their bhakti. That is all important. When Krishna says, tamstatiksha svabharata, mamch, what is that? Matra sparshastukonteya sitosna sukadukata, agama payano nityas tamstatiksha svabharata. Happiness, distress, pleasure, pain, they are coming like the winter and summer seasons. We should rise above them. Learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. That means our service should not be disturbed. Our faith should not be disturbed. Our sadhana should not be disturbed. When other people are suffering, if our own spiritual practices are disturbed, then what we're doing is we're cheating those people. Because to the degree we disturb our own spiritual practices, our prayers and our efforts to help them will be compromised. Yes? I can't do anything spiritually for them unless I'm spiritually strong. According to our own surrender, Krishna is going to hear our prayers. According to my own surrender and my own sincere practice, Krishna is going to empower me to help them. So if we really feel disturbed about other people's problems, it should impel us to do our chanting and our reading and our regulative principles and our strictness in bhakti. We should be more enthusiastic because I'm disturbed. I want to help. And that is a higher type of enjoyment. Feeling the sufferings of others is enjoyment to the soul because it's an expression of love. Does that answer your question? Honestly?
Yes.
Actually? It's amazing. Radhe Shyam Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, one of the first verses spoken by Prahlad, Brahmadaya Sargana Muniyota Siddha, in that Prahlad says, my dear Lord, there are so many learned demigods assembled here, and I am being asked to offer these prayers to you, although I am very, very fallen, you know, he says. And in this verse also we see, he talks about how Brahma or Shiva or Lakshmi, none of them could achieve the mercy. So, while praising a particular principle, sometimes like the demigods or somebody else, they become derided, you know. Like I also was reading in Dhruva Maharaj.
They become what?
Derided.
Derided. Oh, okay.
Derided.
Yes, yes.
Also, while I was reading Dhruva Maharaj's one of the prayers, he says, how did I become angry, you know? Maybe some demigods have bewildered me or something, he says. Now, some demigods have twisted my consciousness because of which I became angry. So often I find demigods, you know, being scolded sometimes and by the pure devotees, you know. By the pure devotees. So a question came to my mind there when I was reading about Dhruva. Why Dhruva Maharaj did not take responsibility for his anger rather than pushing it on the demigods. And similarly here also, Prahlad Maharaj being a pure devotee, on one hand he glorifies the principle of how the Lord loves his pure devotee and he offers his mercy. At the same time, the demigods, I was feeling that the demigods are their position being belittled. Can you kindly explain it, Maharaj?
Before speaking anything, I offer all honor to the demigods. You see, the demigods, they have their particular service. And some of them, their service is to bewilder us. Yes? So they're just doing their service. But that bewilderment is helpful to the Lord. Because those who are not sincere, they keep those people in illusion. Yes? But for those who are sincere, the tests that the demigods provide make us stronger and help us take shelter of the Lord. Some of the demigods are pure devotees. Some are karma mishra bhaktas. That means they're devotees. They're all devotees. But they have many motives besides serving Krishna. They have their prominent motive may be to serve Krishna, but they have so many other desires. It's not easy to become a demigod. You have to be very serious. You have to have real serious devotion and real serious material desires too. And the combination is demigod material. Yes, so the demigods there, you know, some of them get, you know, they teach us good lessons by their examples of what they do wrong. But in the case of Prahlad and Dhruva, you know, they're indirectly glorifying the demigods. Shiva, Brahma, the goddess of fortune, he's extolling how dear they are. Prahlad is not saying, I'm more dear to them than, more dear to you than them. They are the most dear. But still, you're giving me a mercy that you don't even give them. He's just using the demigods as an example of how unlimitedly mercy the Lord could be to even an unqualified, insignificant person. Yes? And Dhruva Maharaj, yes, the demigods may, by their different potencies of running this material world, you know, Kamadev is a demigod, is he not? Hare Krishna. Look what he does. He's doing a service. But it's our service to overcome him. Yes? Madan Mohan. It's our service to take shelter of Krishna, to not fall victim to his service. So therefore, a devotee honors all the demigods, but understands what's their what is their position in this material world. And even they help us to take shelter of Krishna. Does that answer your question? Thank you. May the demigods shower their blessings upon you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very, very much.